My chair, Parsha Shlach. Sedra begins, Ve'edaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor Shlach lecha nashim v'yasuru es Eretz Kanan, asher ani nosen li'bnei Yisrael. So it's interesting, Sifsei Cohen, Shach, he points out a difference in Lashon. Here Hashem was telling Moshe to send people, and he used the Lashon of v'yasuru, to loosely translate, to spy out. Yet in beginning of Sefer Dvarim, when the episode is recounted, the lashon there is nishlacha. The people said nishlacha nashim lefani nu vayach peru lanu esar. It's lashon of vayach por. So he points out. He says v'yasuru is lashon nitaron, same root, which is advantages. Hashem was saying, go see the advantages of the land. See all the good things of the land. That's what Hashem told Moshe. When the people in Dvarim, it says, when they came, the people came to Moshe, they said, send us people, that we should v'yach peru et ha'aretz. What's v'yach peru? It means to spy out, but it's also lashon of chofer, which means to dig. So it says the Shach, that they should have been more careful with what they said, because their mouths were machshil them. Because they used such a lashon of let's spy out the land, lashon of yach peru, let's dig. So what happened in the end? The spies came back. It was Leil Tisha B'Av. The people cried, and Hashem made a gezeirah that every Tisha B'Av, the 15,000 people are going to die for 40 years. That's 600,000 people. The Dor Midbar are going to die. Those between 20 and 60. So every year, when Tisha B'Av rolled around, all the men in that age group, they had to dig their own graves and sleep in their grave. And in the morning, they announced, and they said, Yibadlu Achaim Min Amesim, and they got up, except for 15,000. And every year, another 15,000 die. So, meaning that their death, in the end, was caused or happened while they were lying in their graves. Therefore, their mouths were machshulim, he says, but they said, Yachburu, let's dig, let's spread out the land, the lashon of digging. So what happened? So as the Chazal tell us, that this happened for the 40 years, but in the last year, the last 15,000 were supposed to die, but they got up, and in the morning, and they were alive. So they said, well, we must have made a mistake, and in the Cheshbon, and it's probably not Tisha B'Av, because we shouldn't be here. So they went back into the graves the next night, and again they got up, and the next night again they got up, until the 15th of the month, when they saw a full moon, they said, well, it's got to be past in the Tisha B'Av now, and it's obvious that the Gzeira was batal. And they made a Simcha, a Mishnah, and Simcha, and Yom Tov, that, oh, you know, Tu B'Av, you know, now the Gzeira is batal. So yes, he says, it seems a little bit strange. What's the Simcha? I mean, 600,000 people died over here. Okay, this last group got up. But what are you so happy about? I mean, 600,000, okay, last 15,000 had died. So what Simcha Mazu will say? So he says, reminded him that when he in yeshiva, when he was in Europe, in yeshiva, there were 300 bachrim in the yeshiva. And about 100 and something of them, about 120 of them, him included, were caught and sent to Siberia. So the forced labor in Siberia. Whereas the other Bachram, 200 or so, were left behind. So what happened in the end? All those that were left behind, the Nazis got them and killed them. He and the other, you know, the ones that got away were sent to Siberia. About 120, only about 40 of them survived. He was in a group of 40. So two-thirds died there as well. And he said, but after finally they were released and they were able to go back to Poland. So he said, so he was very happy. Oh, Hashem, now we can go back to Poland. So somebody said, what are you so happy about? Look what happened, right? All the Bachram in the yeshiva died, and even here, you know, two thirds of them died. What are you so happy about? So he said, pointed out that you have to be happy. You have to look ahead into the future. You can't look at the past. Past, these bad things happen, whatever, tragedies. But you have to look, pause, look into the future. And he says, brings an example of that. He says, you look at the Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, they left Egypt, right? And what it says that when they left Egypt, that night, when they left Egypt, or when they were freed and left the next morning, but that night they sang Hallel. That's why we say Hallel at the Leil Seder. So they sang Hallel. So he said, a night before, right? They were it was Makos Bechoros. It was the not night before, but the Makkah before. They was the Makkah of Choshech. Makkah of Choshech, 1/5 of the Jewish people die. So very nice. Oh, great, we're leaving Hallel. What do you mean, great, leaving Hallel? You're leaving, but fine, 1/5 of the Jewish people. What are you so happy about? How can you sing Hallel? So Teretz says, like you said, we see from here, okay, what was terrible, but you have to look into the future and be happy with the matzah, that at least now things are okay, and you're free, and you're okay. Be happy with that. Brings a pitgam, a saying of the Pele Yoetz. He says, "Avar ayin ve'atid adayin v'hove keheref ayin daiga minayin." He says the past avar is avar ayin. The past isn't here anymore, and the future hasn't come anymore, and the present goes by in a second. So daiga minayin, what are you worried about? Right, there's nothing to be worried about, because what you worried about, the past, it's gone. The future is not here now. It's gone. The second is not here anymore. So nothing to be worried about. So he says. So we see the havar ayin. He's medayik. Because we see the past is not here anymore. Well, it was. Okay. So look into the future, and be happy with your present matzav. Next, Moshe Beinu tells the meraglim. He says, "Urisem es haaretz mahi hayesh ba'etz im ayin." So he says, check out the land and see if there's a eight. So they ask, why is it in the Lashon singular? It's just an eitzim. What if there's a tree? Well, look if there's a tree there. Say if there's trees, it's just an eitzim. And furthermore, why Bechlal was he asking to look and see if there's trees? He obviously knew there was trees. Why? Because afterwards he says, "Vizchazaktem lokachtem mipriyaretz." He told them to go and take from the fruit. Well, how can you have a fruit without any trees? Why would he tell them to go take the fruit? He said, see if there's trees, and then go and take the fruit from the... If you're asking if there's a game, you don't know if there's trees or not, I can go tell them to take the fruit. And obviously, he knew there was trees. So why did he say, see if there's any trees? So Rashi says that, in fact, AC here, therefore, can't mean trees. It means tzaddik. And go see if there's a tzaddik that is going to protect these people, the Knanim, in his chus. And the Gemara Baba Basra Tezvav says, in other words, to see if Eov was still alive. He was the tzaddik who was going to save them. So he says, if you think about this, it's a Pella. He says, here are the Knanim. They were the most despicable of all people. Chazal say it. Rashi says, Shmaseim shel Knanim mekulkali mikola umus. They're the worst of all the people. So here's these disgusting people. They don't deserve to be. We have a mitzvah to wipe them all out, kill everybody. So obviously they're terrible, terrible people. And who is coming in to take over? Klal Yisrael, with Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, supposed to, right? With the Aaron and Kodesh and this, and Yanane Akavod, and that's who's supposed, and what? It comes out from here that if there would have been a tzaddik that would have protected them, that's it. We wouldn't have been able to conquer them. With all the reasons in the world why they deserve to be conquered, and we have a right to conquer them because we're all tzaddikim, yet it wouldn't have happened if there would have been just one tzaddik. So you see from here the hashpa of how what one tzaddik could do. One tzaddik could have tremendous hashpa. And he brings an interesting Or HaChaim HaKadosh that he says by the storm, right? When Avram is dubbing for a storm, there's 50 tzaddikim, 45, 40, etc. And then it came down to 10. And if there had been 10 tzaddikim, would have saved the city. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh something interesting. He says that, yeah, 10 people needed minimum to save the city. But, of stomites, you know. He said, if Avram would have been there, him alone, he would have saved the whole place. One tzaddik, because tzaddik is so dolem, says Or HaChaim. One tzaddik is enough. So here we see again the power and hashpa that this one tzaddik can have, and they can save this again. Stom, the terrible, terrible people of Stom. One tzaddik can protect the entire city. The famous thing they used to say about from Yisrael Salanter, they used to say that if an avreich is steiging away in Eishishak, in a town in Europe, he says he is, because of him, there's going to be some Jewish boy in Paris that is not going to that's assimilated, that is not going to go off the derech completely and convert. You know, the Yeshba, it can be far, far away, miles away, But the hashpa of that avreich in Aishuk is going to affect that that young man in Paris, and is going to stop him a little bit and curb his ways, and not so he shouldn't end up converting to Christianity. So we see again the hashpa. And it brings the Gemara in Makos Daf Yud Aleph that it once said Eliyahu Navi, he used to appear quite often to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. However, once he said there was a Jew that a lion attacked and killed the Jew, and it was three parses away from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He wasn't next to the guy; he was about 6 kilometers away. And because of that, the Gemara says Eliyahu Navi didn't appear to Yeshua ben Levi for 3 days. So the question's obvious: what did Yeshua ben Levi do? Some lion attacks a yid 6 kilometers away, not in his vicinity. Well, what does that have to do with him? And because of that, Eliyahu didn't appear to Yeshua ben Levi. And what it says, the Gemara says that the animals only attack a person that doesn't have like tzelem elokim. You know, there's like a behemoth. So fine. So if this guy didn't have tzelem elokim, he was like a behemoth or whatever. So again, what does that have to do with Yeshua ben Levi? Elamai, what do we see? The same thing. We see that a tzaddik has the power to protect and mashpia on his whole surroundings, whole environment. So if this guy was killed by a lion, yeah, it has to do with Yeshua ben Levi, because why didn't his hashpa affect that this lion shouldn't end up killing this yid? So yes, he was tying it against, and therefore Eliyahu didn't speak to him for 3 days. Similarly, we find by the Ari Mikla, right? It says the guy kills Bishogig, he goes to the Ari Mikla, and he stays, has to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. So the Gemara tells us that the mothers of the Kohen Gadol, they used to give food and drink to the people in the Ari Mikla, so they shouldn't daven that the Kohen Gadol should, their son, the Kohen Gadol, shouldn't die. Right? Because they don't want to be stuck in the Ari Mikla. They're going to daven that he should die. Fine. So the Gemara asks, well, why do they have to do that? Well, they're going to daven that they're, you know, she's going to go. But so what? It says, chinam lo savo. A person's mekalel you for no reason. For no reason, they're not going to have an effect. So who cares if they daven the Kohen Gadol is going to die? He's not going to die because of their tefillah. If he doesn't deserve to die, he's not going to deserve to die. What's the big deal? So the Gemara answers and says, no, he's not so innocent. He has there is reason that he might die. What is that? It says that he didn't daven for his door. So, again, the question is, how do we know he didn't daven for his door? Maybe he davened for his door, but Hashem didn't listen, and this guy was killed anyways. So he says, that's exactly the point. If he was on the right level, and he was daven, and his tefillahs would be real tefillahs, whatever, so then this thing shouldn't happen. Again, tzaddik has an effect on his environment, that if this Kohen Gadol would have been on the right level, then this murder would have never happened by accident. This innocent person wouldn't have died. Therefore, it's on his cheshbon. And therefore, the person in the Ari Mikla davens, there's a chance that it might have an effect on him. Finally, he says by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, more says Sanhedrin Sadi Dalet, that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he took a sword and he put it into the ground in the entrance to the Beis Medrash, and he said, anybody who's not Osek in Torah, Yedakir Becherev, he should be killed by the sword. So, what's that supposed to mean? Since when is a Chi of Misa if you're not Osek in Torah? So the answer is that this was at a time of the Milchama when Sancherev came to conquer Yerushalayim. And therefore, they knew that, you know, Kol Yaakov, Yedayim Yesav, as long as they're Kol Yaakov, then Yedayim Yesav can't have an effect. So therefore, it's important that they're learning Torah in the Beis Medrash so that the enemy can have an effect. It'll be a Kol Yaakov. So that's why he is a Pikuach Nefesh. So therefore, yeah, whoever's not learning Torah, Yedakir Becherev, because it's Pikuach Nefesh over here if you're not learning Torah. So Yaakov asks a question. He says, "Wait, I don't understand something though. So why are you putting the sword in the opening to the Beis Medrash? Put it outside in the street corners where people are hanging around schmoozing." And he says, "Whoever's not osing a Torah should get killed. Not in the Beis Medrash. What are you putting in the Beis Medrash for the sword?" So he says again the same Yesod. He says that if the people will be learning properly in the Beis Medrash, so then the people in the out there would be affected, and they come themselves to the Beis Medrash. So therefore, you have to work on the ones that are there already, make sure they're learning Kamosh and Tzarich, and then that is affecting the people out there. Okay. So, there used to be that the used to have balabatim in the early days. There used to be balabatim that the amaratzim, whatever, but they were proud to have a chassan, a son-in-law. It was a talmid chacham. So they used to go to yeshivas and find a good bachar, and the ones that couldn't afford it, they would sponsor them, said, here, you marry my daughter, and I'll support you for 5, 10, 15 years, whatever the case might be. And so he said there was once one such a fellow, a rich man, Bamarts, and he wanted a chassan like this, wanted a son-in-law as a talmid chacham. So he went to the local yeshiva, and he says, I'm willing to pay, sponsor 10 years. 10 years of support if he'll also sit and learn. So Rashiva found a good bachar, made a shidduch, and everything was okay. Good. So they got married and they started supporting his son-in-law. However, even though he appreciated his son-in-law for his good midos, and he was a very fine person and he was a very smart person, but he didn't really care so much about his learning Torah. He really wanted to see him join his business, and he was a smart guy, would help out in his business a lot. So, but then again, a promise is a promise. He promised him 10 years of support. He can't go say, no, I'm not going to support you anymore. So, okay, so what can he do? So he kept supporting him. So what happens? He comes to Shul, the father-in-law comes to Shul on Parshas Shlach Lecha. He's listening to the Torah reading, and all of a sudden his eyes light up. He goes, I found a solution to my problem. Well, it says by the Rabbi the Meraglim that after the Hashem decided to punish them, so how did he punish them? Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana. For every day, a year, right? Every day that they were in Eretz Yisrael, they were punished for a year in the Midbar. Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana. Ah! So he goes straight to his son-in-law. He says, look, I heard in the Torah, Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana. You've been married to my daughter more than 10 days, right? So there are your 10 years. So finished. So now you have to go out and work. So Chassan was very quick, and he said, you can find yourself a new son-in-law. He says, find some son-in-law? What do you mean? He says, because I'm divorcing your daughter. Says, why are you doing that? He says, listen, I've been married for 10 years, and she didn't give birth yet. Anyways, he says that, unfortunately, he said, we have this double standard that we look at when it comes to other people, we look at look in one way, and when it comes to ourselves, we look at ourselves in a different light. And he tells over the famous joke that there was once a woman speaking to her neighbor and says, my son-in-law, terrible son-in-law I have. He goes, why? He says, you know what he did? He left and he went up to with a teul with his friends. And he just left my poor daughter, with the four kids at home, and that's it. He's going on, has a good time, goes on a teal, leaves my poor daughter with the four kids at home. So the neighbor says, wait a minute. She says, didn't your son, your son also go on that teal, and they have his wife and kids behind? So he said, what about your poor, thing? He goes, no, nothing. I said, not my poor daughter-in-law, not a problem. The kids are there to help her. So everybody looks at things in their own way. So he says, so too, when it comes with Hashem, where we dove in for things, Hashem, come on, help me here, I need a parnasa, help me, my health, I need help with my health issues, and this and that, whatever. And Akash Baruch Hu, Hilus, would say to us, excuse me, have you done everything you're supposed to do, to what I asked for? So what would our answer be? Okay, fine, I'm not perfect, but I do the minimum. So Hashem says, fine, I'm also doing the minimum. That's all. Okay. Have to make sure that we do a little bit more than the minimum in our service of Hashem. Next. The Gemara says in Chagiga, Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, also Gemara in Avodah Zar, Daf Gimel, I'm a Rabbi Levi. Says whoever stops learning Torah, he's learning Torah and he stops and starts schmoozing, starts talking, stumps sicha, then his punishment is that he's fed gachalei resamim, he's burning coals. then the Midrash Rabba says that even if they are extinguished on the outside, they're still burning hot on the inside. That's these gachali resamim, are these coals that look on the outside like they're like extinguished, but inside they're still burning hot. So what's the pshat? What's the mina keneged mina here of learning and stopping learning? So it says in this week's Sedra, ki devar Hashem baza, yehikares tikares hanefesh ahi avonaba. In the Sedra, and Chazal tell us that that refers to who deserves this terrible punishment of kares. That's zemi she'efshar lo lasok b'torah ve'inu osek. Somebody who could be learning and he's not learning. So the Chazanish explains in his letters that, come on, you know, just because he's, you know, stopped learning, schmooze a little bit, it's not so terrible. So what? So he says, yeah, you know why you think it's not terrible? Because you don't realize what it means to learn Torah. You mean, really, if you value, if you really understood what the Torah means, what it means to learn even a word of Torah, so you wouldn't stop for a second. So if you're by stopping and schmoozing and dropping the learning, so that shows you don't value what the Torah really is. So May says, very nice, that's the analogy with the burning hot coals, right? It looks on the outside, they're not hot. Look, it looks cold, it's extinguished, nothing big deal. No, it's burning hot inside. Burning hot. So too over here, he said, yeah, the Torah is so big, not so, he looks on the outside, no, what's this, what's the big deal? Not, it's burning hot. Torah is fire. And it's on the outside, something doesn't appear that way, but it really is, and you have to realize, and therefore a person that drops the Torah to speak, he gets fed these coals. He hears from Rav Elia Dushinser, Mashkiach of Lomja. He says, imagine a person is walking on the street, and he sees a kid fall down, and he falls down, he's crying, little kid, you know, falls down and crying. And what happens? The guy just looks at the kid crying, he just walks by, he doesn't ask, does he need help, can he help? No, he just walks right by. So what would you say? Well, a little cold individual, you know, just walking by, right? Yeah. Okay, so what would it be if he's walking by, and he sees a gullah door? He's got a little door, he's in pain, he's crouched over in pain, and he's done he's wrong, and he's, and he's crying, and you're walking by, and the got a little door, and you just walk by, just ignore him, you don't ask him, can I help you, Rob, is anything I do, or can I call for help? No, you just walk right by. Come on, I got a little door, see, you're not even going to help him? Let's take it another madrigue, he says. Imagine you're in a rush, you're running through the street, and all of a sudden, you didn't pay attention so well, and the gadol ador is standing right there, and you mow him down. You bump right into him. The gadol ador falls on the floor. He scrapes rips his pants. His hat goes flying in this direction. His eyeglasses go flying in another direction. And he's screaming out in pain, whatever. You bumped into him, and you knocked him over, and what? And just apathetically just keep going. Don't care, whatever. Can you imagine? It's a terrible thing. I mean, this guy's not a abandoned dog. Yeah, you can do such a thing. Sounds terrible, right? He says, but we're the same way. He says, why? He says that the Gemara says in Kegiga, Daf Hamid Beis, that, look, we're not talking about a kid, not about a God of the door, we're talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. He says, every day Kodesh Baruch Hu cries out, says, Boche Kodesh Baruch Hu, Al Misha Asher, Lolasak, Betor, Veinu Osek. Right? We were pogeying Hashem. Hashem gives us, we're supposed to learn Hashem. We said, we don't care. We need to do what our thing. It's like knocking down the gadol door, and he's crying, and what? Okay, who cares? Let's keep going. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the guy who knocks down the gadol door, we'd say he's not a Ben Adam. What about somebody who's pogeying a Kodesh Baruch Hu like that? Hashem is crying every day. People aren't Osek B'Tor. So make sure we stay in the right direction. Finally, of Moshe Tukachinsky, he says once was going to the Beis Medrash. He was the Mashkiach in Slobodka, and he saw a bachur was running out of the yeshiva. So he says, "Hey, where are you going? Why are you running out of the yeshiva?" So he says, "Well, somebody's calling me." He says, "What? Is it calling you?" He says, "Listen, the Gemara says in Kedushin Kaf Beis Kore Lavihi Ba Hu Kinyan Shal Behema." He says, "How do you make a kinyan out of behema?" He says, "You call it and it comes." He says, "You're acting like a behema. Calling you come. Oh, somebody's calling me. Drop everything, drop the learning, drop that. Somebody's calling me." So what? He said, "Somebody's calling you. Control yourself. Be in control of yourself. So as we see in this week's Sedra as well, right, the Torah calls out to us, you have to control yourself, not go after your eyes or think if you, your eyes and your heart is going to take you away. You have to learn to control yourself. And he brings a mashal from Rav Dessler. He says there was once a guy, and he was a very simple guy, and he didn't have much, you know, he lived off, you know, very simple diet, and a poor person, simple. He didn't learn much Torah, nothing. And what happened? And unfortunately, the guy got very ill, and he got he had a stroke or whatever, and he was paralyzed, lo aleinu. And now, what he was, he couldn't move, and his speech was affected. He couldn't speak either, and so he had a Filipino, you know, taking care of him. So he says, so once he was, you know, he's in a kisa galgalim, in a wheelchair, and this Filipino was like pushing him around, and they happened to was invited to a simcha, to a wedding, whatever, and the Filipino's pushing him, you know, there, and he's looking at his watch, and the worker says, oh my gosh, it's late, I have to get going. So this poor guy in a wheelchair, he's he can't speak, he can't say, and they're walking by all this luscious food, which the guy never has, you know, he was a poor guy. He sees the luscious food, you know, everything you can ask, the smorgasbord, everything you can ask for, and they're walking by, and he's like, you know, he wants to have a bite to eat, he wants to taste this thing, he never eats these things. And but this guy's in a rush, Filipino's run, and he's rushing through the wheelchair, he's like, but he can't talk and he can't reach out, he's paralyzed, and he's, and the Filipino's whoop, and zipping him right through and takes him out of there, and that's it, and he wasn't able to take anything. He says, that's the mashal. What's the nimshal? He says, kina taiv and akavod matzim es adam min olam, or mina ulam, from the hall, right? The person's taiv is whatever, yetzer hara, they can take control of a person, and he's like this poor guy that he loved to take advantage of the world and learn Torah and do mitzvahs, whatever, but his yetzer hara is like, zhup, is taking him out, and zip, he can't move, he's a slave to his yetzer hara. He says, an example of this, that in Australia, he said, there was a gathering of doctors and thing, and they were giving a presentation about the dangers of smoking. Okay, so they gave these classes, whatever, lectures about the dangers of smoking to this group of doctors. So he says, what happened? He says, however, between each of the lectures, they had a break so people can go out and smoke. So he said, like, what's going on? Here, the danger of the smoke or whatever, and then they are going out and smoking. What? He said, same thing. They're slaves to their desires. That's it. They can't control themselves. You know, they used to say, can't translate this in English really well, but it says, Yachol ani limnot mea tamim li nazer mishtiyat yein saraf. He says, I can count 100 tamim, like reasons, like losing something wasn't the translator, but I can count 100 reasons, he says, why a person should stay away from whiskey. V'hatam shel yein saraf machriyat kulam. But the tam is the taste of the whiskey. That's it. 100 reasons why I should stay away from it, but the time of those 100 time, the time of the whiskey, that takes it. So he says, concludes over here. He says that if we the doctor, he tells the shikr, he says, listen, if you're going to continue to drink, you're going to die within 2 years. So what is the answer? He says, listen, if I'm going to stop, I'm going to die today. So it's very sorrowful, but he says that's the way it is. Unfortunately, people can't control themselves, can't control their tivers and their slaves to their desires. And Torah warns us, we should be all zoiche to be in control of all of Yitzharim. So we shouldn't be taken out of this world. Instead, we should be in this world, and learning Torah and mitzvahs, and be zoiche to the coming of Hashem, b'mehir b'yameinu.